Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The PBOC governor said on Friday that China would use competitive devaluation to enhance export competitiveness. What can we make out from this statement?
Well, I think they have a fairly strong argument, not to do so. I mean, if you look at the reason for why Chinese exports have been weak recently, it seems to be a matter of weak global demand rather than a competitiveness problem for China. I mean, you know, exports are weak across the board, and in fact, actually, China's still gaining export market share globally, and it still has a very large trade surplus. So I think that there's a limit, you know, there's limited gains for them from devaluing the currency, and they have a lot to lose, you know, politically in terms of financial stability. So we do largely take their comments at face value that they want to avoid a significant depreciation. And I suspect that it means that they will continue to intervene in the forex markets, selling some of their FX reserves in order to prevent a sharp depreciation from happening.
Taking a leaf from your statement just now that there would be some weak global demands, the PBOC governor also says that the Chinese capital flows are largely normal. Do you think this will boost domestic economy and perhaps move support capital flows internally?
Well, at least some of the capital flows are driven by expectations for the currency. So if the PBOC can help to sort of manage those expectations and stabilize them somewhat, which it hasn't done a very good job of so far, but it seems to be doing a slightly better job now, then at least some of those outflows should ease. But if you look at the composition of the outflows, a lot of them are, you know, unrelated to expectations for the currency, just normal things like outbound investment by Chinese firms. And also, I think some of it reflects, a more downbeat sentiment by, on the part of foreigners on the prospects for China. So they've reduced their holdings of Chinese securities and Chinese currency. So I think that, you know, going forward, we're going to continue to see some outflows. But if the PBOC can better manage expectations for the renminbi, that should help ease things somewhat.
Now, he mentions that the PBOC has sufficient monetary policy tools to cushion the downturn economic impact. What key measures can we expect the PBOC to take in the near term?
Well, the PBOC obviously does, you know, they're not at the zero bound for interest rates, so they can bring those down a lot further. They also have the triple R to inject a significant amount of liquidity. Now, it seems that they're moving away from using the triple R as a tool, so it's becoming less likely that they'll use that. But increasingly, they're just using their normal open market operations to inject liquidity, bring interbank rates down. So we do expect further policy easing this year, but it might come in the form of more low-key open market operations rather than the triple R cuts that they've used in the past.
There is some new reports coming in from the banking industry that the Chinese banking system has an excessive concern being raised. They are leveraged excessively. There is a regulatory arbitrage happening between the banks. Also, irresponsible risk-taking, similar to that of the pre-financial crisis in the US. Is this something that we need to be worried about?
Well, I think that certainly, you know, banks do have a lot of bad debt on their books. And it is, you know, a concern. And obviously, one of the concerns is the lack of transparency around this issue. I mean, you know, on the official measures, non-performing loans are only something like 1.5%. But, you know, in reality, most analysts would argue the actual figure is much higher. Now, I don't think it will play out in the same way as the U.S. You know, one of the differences in China's case is that the banking system is state-run, so I suspect that the government will step in to take on a lot of those bad loans, as they did when there was a bad loan problem back in the early 2000s, late 90s. So I don't think we'll see a run of bank failures, but I think what we will see is that eventually the government will have to step in and take on a lot of those bad loans, because in reality, a lot of those bad loans reflect the fiscal stimulus package after the financial crisis. But the government didn't really want to take the cost of those stimulus up front, so they pushed the cost towards the banks, and they're now having to deal with that problem. And we actually think that it'd be much better to move the cost onto the government's balance sheet, where there are less concerns over stability of that debt, and then leave them in the banks, clogging up the financial system, where they do more harm than good. So we'd like to see some of that debt, moved onto the government's balance sheet.
Yeah, speaking about balance sheets, we saw right now some of the big banks in China, they have an issue with capitalizing their banking system. Do you think China will have to print a lot of money to recapitalize its banking system? Do you think this will pressure the currency to devalue in excess against the dollar, for instance?
Well, I don't think that they necessarily have to print a lot of money. I mean, they can do some clever accounting tricks like what they did previously when they recapitalized a few of the banks in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they did an equity transfer from the central bank in exchange for foreign currency reserves, which didn't result in any increase in domestic liquidity, but at least helped to, on the books, recapitalize the banks. But ultimately, you're right. I mean, at some point, the banks, if they need to use those funds, they do need to domestically, then, they do need to exchange them for domestic liquidity, and the PBOC has to provide more liquidity in return. But I don't think that that's necessarily a huge issue for capital outflows, because if you look at what's happened, over the past year, actually, the capital outflows haven't resulted in that big of a change to monetary conditions in China. Actually, the interbank rates have been stable for the past 6 months, despite what's going on in terms of large-scale capital outflows. And that's because China still has capital control, so the link between outflows and monetary conditions is actually a lot weaker than some people have suggested.
Right, let's switch our focus to the security sector. China's security chief actually denies rumors of listing changes over at their self-styled Chinex. Do you think there is some truth to this, that the listing changes will be changed for the Chinex?
I think that at the moment, the new governor, Liu Xiaoyu, is probably taking a very cautious note. I mean, the message, of course, from the government seems to be that, his predecessor didn't, act fast enough to stabilize the market. So I suspect that his initial priority will be stability. And I don't think he'll be wanting to introduce measures that would potentially destabilize valuations, such as IPO reform. So I suspect those have been put on the back burner, at least for a few months, until he sort of does some research, talks to market participants, and works out what he's going to do. But I think he'll be probably a lot more cautious than his predecessor, simply because the message from the government that put him in that position seems to be, okay, your primary job is to stabilize things and then think about reforms later.
Mid last week, we saw the equities actually hit a very sharp fall. In fact, the whole week was a volatile week for the markets in China. Do you think investors will see some level of support for this week?
Well, I think that, the equities will have been supported by, some of the comments out of China, the G20, which have helped to sort of stabilize sentiment on China globally. I think that will help equities somewhat. But I think that the upside is also fairly limited, because I suspect that, whenever equities rally much, the CSRC will step in and reduce some of their previous support measures, because I think that the new governor will be wanting to prevent a rerun of last year where the market rallied significantly. And I think that they'll be, wanting to withdraw some of those previous support measures, such as the restrictions on short sales, when they have the opportunity to do so. So when sentiment improves, and I think that will limit the upside to stocks over the next few months.
Have a good week ahead. Thank you for the call. That was Julian Evans Pritchard, China economist from Capital Economics in Singapore.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area, visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!